my message out and is laying on my desk. Isn't that something? It is. I know where I laid it, too. I don't have my message. Will you grab it for me? That would be good. I don't know. The outside, well, I don't know. I know it's laying right in the center of my desk. And it says, trusting the temporary. If you have to get into the outside of office, that's the outside office. You may, I think it's all open. That's the key file to get the inside auto door. And Luke chapter 12, I know that part. Anybody need a worksheet? I printed mine out, and it's been crazy. I threw it down there, and I had a 1 o'clock appointment, and then directly after that had another appointment, and that was it was already quarter of five, and I left it laying there. So I'm sorry. Luke chapter 2, we can start reading, and 12. Is that what I said? 12. Did I say 2 that time? It's Luke chapter 12. Here it is. I knew that. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. I know that part. Luke chapter 12, verse number 13. And we've been dealing with, the word is hypocrisy. And we take that word, you realize that the word hypocrite has been given a connotation, and I understand that. But it simply means an actor. You ever hear the Hippocratic Oath? Okay, the same guy was an actor. And that's where the name came from. And so it simply means to pretend to be something that you're not. And it's not necessarily a bad connotation. But in the context, that word, of course, from the Word of God, because by the way, most people knew the Word of God, has come to have a negative connotation. And so when you talk about a Christian, the last thing you want is to be something or to pretend that you're something that you're not. It's deceptive. It's dangerous. It brings destruction. Remember those? It hurts us. It hurts those around us. It destroys our testimony. It destroys the testimony of the church. And if it destroys the testimony of the church, then it also destroys the effectiveness of the church. And, you know, I know we often say, well, as long as the preacher's not a hypocrite, we're okay. Well, the fact is, sure, it's a bad thing if the preacher's a hypocrite, but anyone who's known to be part of a church, the world is going to look at you. If you want to find out what a Christian is supposed to act like, ask one of the people from the world. They'll tell you what they're supposed to be. And somehow and I understand we want to see grace and mercy and pretend, you know, and say, well, we have grace and you shouldn't hold it against us. And I understand that's true. But our testimony is so important. And God may give us grace, and even fellow church members may give us grace. But what does the world know about grace? They're going to judge us by the law. They're going to, and sometimes they judge us by their law. But they're going to, so we need to be above reproach. In the eyes of the world, blameless. You know, the world is, it's kind of like we are as kids. We'd rather have our parents admit that they were wrong and know that they're honest than to have them try to pretend they're not wrong, didn't do anything wrong, never did anything wrong, when we all know they're a liar. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 13, I hope it didn't get lost, let me say this. In chapter 12, he's talking about, let me read, because I was supposed to do this. Read verse 1. Look at verse 1 of chapter 12. In the meantime, there were gathered together, watch, an innumerable multitude of people. This is a big bunch. Insomuch that they trode one upon the other. I mean, they're falling on each other, walking over top of each other, trying to get near. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, we talked about the leaven. Remember, leaven is something you put into bread. You don't really ever see it again, but it's there, and it does its work throughout all the bread. Now it says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. That what that means is it shows up in every aspect of our lives. Oh, bless you. Bless you, my child. All right, very good. Thank you, sir. Looks like it. It shows up in every aspect of our lives. And we've already gone through some. And it's interesting what he's going to get into here in a moment. So, he's talking about hypocrisy. He says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Verse 13 now. Jump over. And one of the company, and this innumerable amount of people, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now you say, well, what in the world? This is just some kind of random thing he threw in there in the midst of this conversation. No, it's a reason why it's there. Do you remember what I've been saying the last couple of weeks? A hypocrite, somebody who pretends to be a Christian but really isn't, is actually going to think much like the world. Okay? If a man thinks like the world is going to become his source of truth, his source of wealth, his source of protection. He's more worried about what man thinks of him than what God thinks of him. He's more worried about man's wrath than God's wrath. His view is not this view, it's this view. It's a horizontal, it's a worldly view. So you can tell, this is terrible. You don't want to go down around critiquing people. But you do need to be wise and discerning. Go back to first chapter of Proverbs. He says, I write these things so you can discern, so you can know what's right and what's wrong. Now, you don't have to go around and tell everybody what's right and what's wrong. In fact, we've all been in places where we all have needed grace, and people have cut us a lot of slack, and we didn't even know it. And we need to cut folks slack. Now, you know, but we also need to make sure we're standing for what's right. And so the fact is, when you see somebody who they may claim to be spiritual, they may even be able to stand up and give a good prayer, and the fact is, they live, you watch them, they're worried more about what is coming at them from the world than what God thinks. And if that's the case, even though they may in many ways appear to be mature like the Pharisees. Man, they had the law down to a T. He says, but they said, we tithe of this and that and everything. Yeah, that's fine. You should have done that. But what about mercy? What about judgment? What about, you know, understanding what truth is? And so you get somebody who can play all the games. They do, you know, you can have a really nice checklist of everything, you know, good fundamental Baptist is supposed to do, and yet their perspective is living on, well, they're all around pointing out this and that and other things. They're worried about what's going on in this area as more than what they're worried about this area. You got yourself somebody, and I hate to use the word hypocrite because of the connotation, but you got an actor. Now, they may be acting because they're not saved, or they may be acting because they're just not walking with the Lord, or not as grown as they claim they are, but we have an actor. And we need to have to be discerning of these things. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about, that's not the whole title there, Jack. Just put on trusting the temporary. Trusting the temporary. My mind there, I couldn't bring it down to what I needed it to be here. Too many things going on. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, help us to see ourselves in these things. Lord, we've all played the role probably sometime in our life. It may be right now. It may be in certain areas and not in certain areas. Lord, help us just to, instead of playing a role, help us, Lord, just to get right with you and do right and yield ourselves to you in these areas. Keep our testimony clean. Help us to be clean vessels to be used of your Spirit. Lord, speak to us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to read my introduction here just in case I miss something. Just as the hypocrites in our last few messages that sought to have the blessings of this world, the respect of the world, and the positions in this world, we can sometimes be more concerned about the wealth and the riches of this world than in the provision of God. And it is as if we believe in the power and abilities of the world more than the power and the abilities of God. We seek first the kingdom and the wisdom of the world instead of seeking first the kingdom and of God and his righteousness. Many will say that they're trusting God to provide for them, but then they fight the family over some inheritance. They seem to think that if they don't get their earthly inheritance that they have coming to them, that maybe somehow God will not provide and they will starve to death. I don't know what they're thinking. But sometimes, well, it's mine, I have it coming to me. That's not the question. Sometimes we're thinking we need the earth's wealth to survive. Well, I think God wants me to have that inheritance, and so and so is trying to steal it away from me. Well, that may be true. So this so-and-so has messed up God's plan, has he? And outwitted God. And now you're going to be destitute and God cannot provide your needs anymore because this man has gotten in front of God. Is that what's going on? What if that person you're getting inheritance from never existed? What if God's plan is for you to trust in him and not in your inheritance? You see, he's talking about we say we trust God. We say we live for God. We say that all we care about is our relationship with God. But my brother, that blankety blank blankety blank blank so and so, is trying to steal my inheritance. And I think I ought to take him to court. And in fact, my guess, there was a lot of people here, but these were small towns. So when that guy in the multitude of everybody in town gets to the attention of Jesus, who had everybody else's attention, says to him and announces it to the whole world, my brother's cheating me on my inheritance. Well, them's fighting words. Now, what do you think his brother thinks? What do you think those people think of his brother? And he just announced it to everybody that's important to him. In other words, that inheritance is worth more to him than his brother. Well, you say, well, that inheritance is worth more to my brother than I am. Oh, well, that makes it right. He's not going to give account of what his brother does. His brother's going to give account. But he's going to give account with what he does. I'm not saying this is easy. This is tough. But this hits right down where the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? We're talking about being a hypocrite, and then we're going to take our brother to court because he's stealing a little bit of money. And what are we going to do? Starve? God's going to let us starve? Number one, what source do you look to for your provision? What source do you look to for your provision? The source we look to is the source we trust. The source we look to is the source we trust. We can be very concerned about earthly provisions. We forget that heaven can provide better than the earth. The Lord can provide better for us than man. The Lord may use man to provide for us, or he may not. Now, I'll be honest with you. You've heard me tell the story how I didn't tell my dad that I had lost my job. We were living, from hand to hand, didn't have enough money. We needed, when I was out at the college. But the fact is, I don't often say, but it's the truth, my mom and dad would slip us a check for $150 every once in a while, every month or every 6 weeks. And they would do. He said, well, then he helped. Yeah, but that wasn't going to pay all the bills. Now, I could have called my dad. They asked him to pay my bills. And I'd pay him back. And because, that's what I would have done. Lord, I said, Dad, just give me a loan here and I'll pay you back. And I would have had to pay it back. But the fact is, I figured, if God sent me out there to be his servant, he ought to provide. Because the Bible says I'm worth my hire. Where God provided, he said, don't take an extra coat. Don't take any extra money. Don't even take a wallet to put it in. Now, That's what I was supposed to do. Now, again, I went out and worked hard. I tried to work hard and get a job. I didn't have a job. My job was to find a job. And so we do what you can, but you got to trust him for it. Now, the fact is, God did use my parents as partial fulfillment of his promise. There were people who showed up. Listen, there was food showed up outside our door. And so help me. The only person who knew that at the college besides Janet and me and the Lord was the fellow who helps guys get jobs. And I said, if you have anything, let me know. Now, I don't know whether that did anything or not. I don't know. Maybe. But I felt like he was the guy that kind of, Brother Sally out there, helps folks find jobs. He's since retired. But I know it sounds Brother Sally, but Sally's his last name. Anyway, I went to him and I just said, if you have a job, if you find anything, meantime, I'll be looking. So I don't know whether that went through there. I didn't tell him we were destitute. I didn't tell him we didn't have any money. I told him that Janet was working some. And so I don't know. Maybe that has something to do, but I didn't tell him that. But the fact is that the Lord may use people to help provide. But sometimes he uses people you weren't even thinking about. You know, we would go complaining, hoping. We would go to somebody with a prayer request. Please pray for us because we don't know we have enough money. Really what we're saying is, I'm praying to you, you'll give me some. Rather say, you know, I got a serious concern. Would you just take it to the Lord and I want to see what he does? We got a serious concern. So, well, shouldn't you tell him what to pray for? You can, if it's a confidant, I guess, or so forth, you can. But I'll be honest with you, God knows. And we pray in secret so that God can award you openly. And I know that God took care of us. Now, we tend to trust what we can see more than what we trust that we cannot see. And I understand that. Makes sense. So when there are no visible resources, we get scared and start grasping for other earthly sources for our provisions. My guess is this old boy went to his brother already and said, wait a minute, this isn't fair. Probably it was his older brother. The older brother is supposed to get double and then disperse the rest of the money to the family. Now, I don't know. The guy just kind of hanging on to it. I don't know what the... And we've seen that. We've seen that. I told you the story about the two guys down there. They had... Somebody had sold the farm down in Maryland. They had sold the farm, the family farm, and it didn't go the way somebody wanted to go, and they got hot in it, and it was a problem. And they were... And finally, the father was already gone. This was the mother, and of course, she was allowed to stay in until she died, and then she died. And of course, this was all, they're all thinking, instead of thinking, well, we're going to miss mom, but we'll see her in heaven, they're thinking, okay, now what's going to happen to the farm now she's gone? And before long, a few sparks flying, and they go to fisticuffs until they fall into the hole at the funeral, at the cemetery. In a fist, two brothers in a fist fight at the cemetery, all over some money that's going to be burned up. One of these days, not going to be a thing there. And this is long since gone. Whatever house, you know, crazy. Watch. God doesn't need a man to provide for us. The Lord may use ravens like he did for Elijah. We can say we trust God and act like we trust God. But in practicality, are we trusting God or are we trusting something else? Are we real or are we an actor? A hypocrite. And I please take this the right way. I told you a few weeks ago, my dad's, we were having years ago, and it was like, you know, he just couldn't believe that I would just go off and be a pastor someplace, didn't know where I was going. He said, well, God takes you away, I'll become an atheist. And that didn't work, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If you leave now, I'm going to take you out of my will. Well, first of all, I knew he wouldn't do that. He was just hot. And the reason he wanted me there, because he loves me. I mean, you got to love me. No, he wanted me there. I understand that. I want my kids around me, because you can tell. I like having them around. We can have them around. But he says, that's what God's going to do. I'll take you out of my will. And I guess he thought, I'll be scared. But I said, well, you do what you want to do. I have not planned any of your money to ever be in my pocket. If it does, wonderful. If it doesn't, it's okay because I have not I've not budgeted my life assuming that I'm going to get so much from you. Listen, you didn't have anything when you start when your daddy died. If I don't get anything when my daddy dies, that's okay. It's not my money. He worked for it. And so I wasn't planning on it. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying I didn't plan. I don't want because then I don't have any expectation, and I can't be disappointed. But the fact is, it's easy for me to say that because my God shall supply all our need according to his riches and glory. I've seen pastors who have made decisions in ministries because of money. I've seen them go against what their heart and their spirit was telling them to do because of money. I've seen churches change their position and their approach to ministry because Brother Deep Pocket says, I don't think we're going that way. And watch me. I remember Dr. Smith telling me this. He says, now when, and I've heard elsewhere, he said, now the pastor is not the dictator, but he is the leader. And he doesn't run the church, he leads the church. But the pastor should have a good bit of responsibility of where money goes. And the fact is this, whoever holds the purse strings is the boss. Now, there's checks and balances. And there's been some times when I wanted to do something, they didn't want to do it. Well, we didn't. But whoever holds the purse strings, so if Brother Deep Pockets is the one who holds the purse strings, keeps them in the black, well then all of a sudden he's really run the church. But watch this. You say, well then what do? He doesn't hold the purse strings. He holds the purse strings. And so when he says this is what we ought to do, then we ought to do it. He's the one that's supposed to fund the thing. Now, we don't have to go out. I mean, there's a lot of things we could have done in this building back here. You know, we could have snazzed that thing with all kinds of things. Easy to raise it up $10, $15 a square foot. Easy, you can do that. But you try to make checks and balances. You try to be, you know, good stewards. Don't waste the money by being too extravagant, or waste the money by being too cheap. And it's going to break next week, and we've got to start all over again. You know, you ask for God's wisdom, you do what you think you need to do, and you leave it go at that. Now, that was aside. So the point is, who we're trusting is the one that we think is God, if you will. Number two, possessions are not our protection. Possessions are not our protection. Are we trusting God to use the world to provide for us? Are we trusting God to use the world to provide for us? Like I said, God doesn't need the world. It's almost like, well, God put this inheritance in my dad. Now my brother's holding it back, and he's thwarting the plan of God. Well, if he is, keep praying to the Lord of God. And God, by the way, is bigger than his brother. And if God decides he doesn't want him to have that money, well, then he doesn't get the money. Maybe there's a good reason. Maybe he's this guy who stood out there in front of everybody and called his brother a dirty, rotten thief is a fool. And the prosperity of a fool shall destroy him. Maybe God's saying, you know, he can handle that money. I don't know. But if he was all that wise, he probably wouldn't have spouted that out right there in front of everybody. Look what it says here in Luke 12, 13. It says, and one of the company said unto him, the crowd that Jesus was talking to about hypocrisy, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now, wait a minute. Hasn't that guy been listening? God's going to take care of us. You know what? If you look back at chapter 12, verse 9, look what it says there. He's talking about hypocrisy. Verse 5 says, but I will forewarn you that whom ye shall fear him which he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yes, unto you fear him. In other words, who's the important guy? Who's the one that has the upper hand? Who's the more powerful one? Fear God. That's who we're supposed to be right with. Verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Also, saying, whosoever shall confess me before him shall the Son of Man also confess before my Father. But he that denieth me before men, him shall be denied before the angels of God. What's he saying? He said, listen, haven't you been, listen, you were just here. I just said this, man, and now you're worried about inheritance? Didn't you just realize God will take care of you? And every time, the fact is, when that man stood out there and said, this man isn't giving me my inheritance, what he's saying is, my inheritance is worth more than a relationship with my brother. And I want somebody to fix this. Why? You're going to be destitute? Fear God. A sparrow can't fall without his notice. God will take care of you whether you've got your inheritance or not. And frankly, by making a big deal about your inheritance as if God's not going to take care of you, you just denied him before men. You just basically said, I need my inheritance that my brother's holding on to, because otherwise I'm stuck because God's not going to do anything. See, you see how we get so focused on the world. We don't realize how focused on the world we are. Now, yes, is it his? Yes, it's his. Should he go talk to him? Yes, he should. Should he maybe take another family member to him and say, you know what, to make this right, we probably should. But the fact is, if you don't get it, you don't get it. But my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. It's still there. Some folks want to use, watch it, some folks want to use God to get their way in the world. They pray to God for God to fix things for them in the world and their circumstances so that they can have what they want out of the world. It's almost like when they pray, God, sick them. In other words, this earthly situation needs to be changed so that I can get what God wants to give me. And so it's like this situation is stopping God. He's not stopping God. God can walk right around those old buzzards. He could do what he wants to do. He can provide our needs. And if they want to lose the blessing from going against God, God and we want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We want to seek him, believe that he is, and reward of them who diligently seek him. And God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Listen, when they get on the other side, he's going to say, what in the world were you thinking? On the other hand, he's going to say, I don't care about that. If they want to run around and lay around and roll around in the mud, let them roll around in the mud. I don't need to get down there and dirty with them. True religion and undefiled is to do what? Visit the fatherless widows and stay, keep yourself unspotted from the world. You know what we're saying? I got to have that worldly money. Well, listen, you can only serve one master. You can't serve two. You got to serve God or you're going to serve mammon, the riches of this world. Now, if God gives you some of the riches of the world to enjoy, as long as it's not sinful, make use of it. Have fun. That's yours. But the fact is, if he withholds some of it, it doesn't matter. Whereas we're not serving it anyway. And see, that's what was going on with this guy. Now, you say, well, all he wanted was what he had coming to him that was rightfully his. That's true. But since when is the world fair? It's not. Not for anybody, not even for a Christian. Do what you can, but when it's all said and done, you get the raw end of the deal, you get the short end of the stick. God says, it's okay, I'll take care of you. I know I told you this story, but I'm going to say it again. Some years ago, it has been at least over 15 years ago, because I was still down at Open Door. I know it's probably been longer than that. We had a great big preacher's fellowship. Dr. Smith was always one who liked to encourage preachers. He was forever having a big fellowship and so forth. And we had a big program. It was like the Tuesday morning, and I'm running around taking care of the speakers and the water on the platform and the music and the special music and making sure everything was run and so forth. And we got finished with our Tuesday morning meeting there. And he says, "Now the preacher's there. We're going across the street to the buffet, and you're with me. And anybody else who wants to come, you're on your own. But you can come, and we're all going to have lunch over here at the buffet." And these guys stood up and, you know, they said, I'm just being transparent with you. They come get to preach and they all clap before they even ever preach, you know. And they preach and sit down. Of course, they preach the message. They preach 15 times here all over America, you know, and so forth. And I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off all morning. I was having a pity party because he didn't ask me. He didn't ask to take me out to lunch. But I was the one that was there early to make sure everything where it needed to be, and I was the one that was late to make sure everything cleaned up, and they were all going over there. If I want to go over there, and the fact is, I was, to be honest with you, I didn't make a lot of money, and really couldn't afford to go over there, even go outside. I was having a pity party, and the Holy Spirit kind of kicked me in the pants and said, "Now stop it. Don't you worry about it. I'm the one to provide your needs, not Shelton Smith." Now, there was a young preacher boy there who was just visiting and upbeat, all excited about getting the ministry. Well, he was a whole lot worse off than I was. Now, I had one of the reasons I was poor is because I had a pretty good-sized mortgage. Not a nice house. He didn't have anything. He was lucky to have a car that was going to get him 150 miles. And he was working his way through college. And I said, "Hey, you want to go to lunch? My treat." "Yeah." So we went over, had lunch. I paid for him and me. And I forgot all about it, to be honest with you. The Holy Spirit had to kind of, you know, we've all been there. I'm the only one that gets selfish. Come on now. Make it look like I'm the only one to get selfish. I'll stop being real with you. And so we got finished. We got done. At the end of the day, I went back up to check my mailbox, and there was an envelope in my mailbox. It was from Dr. Smith. And he said, I should have asked you for lunch. I didn't tell anybody. I said, I really should have included you in lunch, and here's enough to pay for your lunch. Well, it was enough to pay. He knew how much it was. It was a buffet. It's all the same price. It paid for me. It paid for that preacher boy and a little extra in my pocket. Now, I had to confess and forsake. And I got mercy. It all happened in a matter of an hour and a half, 2 hours. But it was just as real. It was just as real. And we get so worried about, I want him to provide my needs. I know what it's like. I remember some years where Dr. Smith said, we're really tight. We're not going to get any raises this year. I said, that's fine for you. You made a decision. You're making three times what I make. Fine for you to not get a raise. I've got four kids at home, and I can hardly make it. I'm barely making it now, and the price of things are going to go up. That's what you think. But the fact is, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I was trying to figure out how we're going to put Sterling. He was our oldest son. How was I going to put him in college? I didn't know how in the world we were ever going to get him through college. Right before we got ready to send him to college, I took a job in Dover, Pennsylvania. And the deal was, if there's any money at the end of the month, you get paid. If there isn't, you don't. Here. But you know what? By the time we sold the house in Maryland, God had worked it out, played with the economy enough. I was able to sell my house down there, come up here and buy a house for cash and put some in the bank. The money I needed to send Sterling to college, I didn't have. I was mortgage poor. Now it's sitting in the bank, plus some extra, by taking a job that doesn't pay anything. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, you're up there bragging. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on me. I'm bragging on him. I'm just simply telling you, I know it works. I've seen it work. Don't tell me it doesn't work. It's not some fairy tale. But I think it's as if we've decided what should be done, and then we ask God to endorse it, to make it happen, because we got to fix this or it's not going to get done. Well, I think we're still looking for the world to be our source. It's just what we want God to kick it in gear, because we got it all figured out. Look at letter C, I think it is, verse 15. He said unto them, watch, take heed. In other words, stare at it. Take a good look at this. Discern. Take heed and beware. Stand on guard. Isolate yourself from this. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Covetousness, greedy practices. To do what it takes to get what you want even if it's not the best way to handle it, or even a bad way to go about it. You say, well, covetous says, I'm going to do what I need to get what I want. Even if it means telling the whole town, my brother's this dirty, rotten, stinking thief. Lord, tell him that you're supposed to give that money. Instead of saying, Lord, you know, that inheritance was there and it's not coming, but you know, and you know what my family needs. Give us your wisdom. We'll move on. Things are not what life is all about. Sometimes we'll be so concerned about and focused on the temporal things. The man that dies with the most toys is not the winner. He's dead. When our boys were real, real young, we used to go to a Christmas party with my dad at an antique car club. And at the party, they have a little Santa. They're supposed to give all the kids a gift. And our kids always knew that Santa wasn't real, just something fun you do at Christmas time. And so they're going to go up and get a gift. Well, my dad always made sure the boys had a Hess truck. The Hess truck's back and it's better than ever, you know, and all this stuff. So they always want to make sure they got a Hess truck. To the point that my nephew if he heard that's coming on, he didn't want to know what it looked like because he knew he was getting one, and he didn't want to look at it on the advertisement on TV. So he would if he heard that coming on, he wouldn't look. But anyway, always got them. And so now their closets are all full of these Hess trucks. They got one every year until my dad died. And you know how much they're worth? Same thing he paid for them. I've been looking at the toy shows. About the same thing he paid for them. Because everybody said, these are going to be collectible. Well, you better get one. So they all did. And they're nice little trucks and so forth. And, you know, it's kind of nice to have, but there they are. Nathan's getting ready. They're moving into their little townhouse there. And we're trying to get all his stuff out of there, you know. And so anything that's left in his closet are the Hess trucks. Trying to figure out what to do with the Hess trucks. There is more to life than possessions. Now, possessions are not wrong as long as they're kept in the right perspective. We can have a very blessed life, though, without a lot of possessions. Possessions may actually be a weight that easily besets us. God doesn't need the world's resources to provide our needs for us. God made everything in the world to begin with. God has not run out of resources or materials. If the world runs out of resources, God will make some more if we need them. I mean, I don't know. God knows. Is our trust in God or is our trust in the world? Do we simply use God to get the world's provision? That's what this man was doing. He realized that Jesus was a great teacher. He could do mighty things. And you know what? I bet you he could straighten my brother out. Some folks are praying for God to change our economy so we can trust the world to provide for us. God's got a bigger plan. We don't know. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad the economy was down as far as it was because the interest rate on our building was pretty good. But anyway, what if it wasn't? Jan and I, we got ready to build our first house. There was an old guy that came, and this is back in the early 80s, Carter era. Some of you were around. Some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But some of you were around, and interest rates were 21%. And we wanted to build our house. This old guy came up to my dad, and he said, you know any nice young couple like to buy a house? I've got some money I could give for cheap. He said, no. We just told Dad we want to buy a house. And he said, no, you didn't think. But anyway, he came home. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, our interest rate to build that house was 10.25%. That sounds terrible. But when it's 21%, I'll tell you what, it's cheap money. I don't know why. Now, I'm a dirty dog. I'm a sinner. God knows my heart. But he also knows that I try to keep a clean slate. And I'll be honest with you. No, I'm not perfect. But I spend a lot of time asking forgiveness. But you know he's faithful and just to forgive. And you know, when he's forgiven, it's as if you never sinned. And he has provided for us. We built that house when it was 21%. I was 22 years old when we moved into a house that we built. Now, it shouldn't have happened. I'm just telling you, Janet had been, even though she wasn't saved, she was living the way God wants you to live. Even before she was saved. Being prudent. So I'm just saying, he said, well, your father paid that for it. No, he didn't. So help me. He didn't. It was just amazing what God could do, the way he blessed, the way he worked this out, pulled this down, so forth and so on. I'm just saying, God can do it. Now, he may do it differently for you, but he'll provide for you if we will put ourselves into his hands. The Lord can provide for us better than a man. The Lord may use man to provide for us, or he may not, but he is the one. Listen, God doesn't need the world. Our trust needs to be in him. Can't God provide for us even when the world does not have any resources? Think about Elijah and the ravens. Not the ones down in Baltimore, the ones that fed him. And the widow lady who had no money, she was going to go ahead and die. And he said, no, just keep pouring it out here. We'll take care of everybody here. Listen. We say we believe in God, but we really believe in the provision of the world, and we're hoping God will keep the world moving on our behalf. This is a different level of faith. This is a different level of looking at this. We think we're being spiritual, but the fact is, God is our provision, not the world. What if the economy of America goes totally down? Well, guess what? The kingdom of heaven hasn't shut down. Sometimes we're not looking for what God can provide. They're looking for what the world can provide and want God to make sure the world provides it. The world is not the source of provision. God is. Deuteronomy 8:16 says this. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end? Listen, said God. I fed you out there with manna in the wilderness those 40 years. Why? Because I wanted you to know that I will provide for you. Well, that was the Jews. Yeah, he put it in there for us. God will provide, even when there's nothing in the wilderness for our provision. It says, thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand. This is all in Deuteronomy, verse 8:17. Thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all forget the Lord thy God, walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. God may use man to provide, but don't trust man for your provision. Psalm 50:10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine. It's God speaking. And the cattle upon the thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I love this. God says, he says to us, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. I wouldn't bother telling you if I was hungry. What are you going to do? For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I love that. God said, well, if I was hungry, what good to tell you? I'm the one who provides for you. Listen, the man in our story is willing to divide up the family over money that's going to burn up and be gone one day. Think how many families have been torn apart over the family inheritance. And we call ourselves Christian. Well, I'm just trying to, it's the principle of the thing, and I'm just trying to do right. Oh, come on. And when you stand there like that, I'm just trying to do, where's the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, goodness. Now, while I tell you what I see, anger and clamor and malice and evil speaking that's supposed to be put away from us. Think of how many families have been torn apart. The portion of the family farm. Some family heirloom that's been sitting on the attic for 30 years and no one seemed to care about it until someone spoke up and said they wanted to have it. And now we're it's the same thing as in the nursery. Now that one kid got it, they all want it. You know how it is? If I ever had my hand, the baby says, if I touch it, it's mine. If I see it and I like it, it's mine. If you have it and I like it and I want it, it's mine. And that's the way we are. Number three. Look what time it is. Ready for this? Stuff. S-T-U-F-F. Stuff will never satisfy. Stuff will never satisfy. In fact, a lot of us are getting to the point in our life where we've got too much stuff. And now we're trying to figure out what to do with the stuff as we're trying to step down here a little bit. Letter A. What is your source of satisfaction and security in life? What is the source of your satisfaction? You know what? Oh, my. It's quarter after. I'm going to be continued. Because he's going to give us a parable. And if I get in this parable and I start now, I won't do it justice. And so we're going to stop right there. And we're going to talk about that. Stuff will never satisfy. All this is coming out of the idea that he says, now, wait a minute. Don't act like something that you're not. And the fact is, sometimes we don't think we're acting. And we don't think we're acting. In fact, sometimes we've been acting so long, it's just normal. To not act is acting. We've been trusting the world. And the fact is, we've been around the world so much. And the church is so much in the world, and the world is so much in the church, that we don't even realize that some of this is not the best way to act. In fact, we think this is crazy. I mean, you really, truly going to believe that God's going to provide your needs? If I didn't believe God was going to provide my needs, I would not have come to this church. I mean, that's the honest goodness truth. I love the people, but there wasn't enough money. And the fact is, I didn't know if I could pastor. I didn't know if I could even preach. And you're still wondering. But I didn't know if I could do this. And so, except for the fact that in my heart and my soul, I felt like he was calling me to do something here at this church, to do the best I can. And the fact that I believe that he will provide all our needs according to his riches, honest to goodness. And I had people say, well, did you go out and get some help? I didn't even think about it. I really didn't, you know. And I'm, frankly, I'm glad I didn't. I really am. I'm glad I didn't because well, you did this and this and this and this and this, and we all pulled together. Listen, when it's all said and done, I was talking to a gal today, and I told, and we were talking about some things, and I got talking about bringing the kids up here from a ministry that had everything, as far as we knew, and that was everything they ever knew, to a church that really didn't have a whole lot. And I said, if this is wrong, this is the worst thing we could ever do to our kids. This could destroy them. Pull them out of great ministry, you know, all their friends, everything, come up here, and the thing just dies, and we close up shop, and now we lost our job, and we're going to wander around the country trying to find a job, and this and that and other thing. What a terrible thing. I said, if this is the right thing, and God's in it, well, then something's going to happen that's good, and it's the best thing that ever happened to our kids. And you know what it was? It's been the best thing that could ever happen to my kids. They know that you all love them. You've helped. They saw people show up at our door unasked with a turkey or a ham. They heard about the $20 handshakes that I get sometimes at the back door after Sunday morning to help us have enough money to get through the week. They know all about that stuff. They saw this family, this church family take care of us. They saw the Lord use us. They saw money come in places they didn't expect it to come from. You know, you do a funeral and sometimes all you get is a pat on the back. And the fact is, if that's the case, the fact is, next time I do a funeral, I'll get one, they think, wait, these people don't even have any money. They'll give me $250. What's that? It's the Lord. I don't have to worry about it. I have a lot of things that I worry about, which I shouldn't worry about, need to give to him. But to be honest with you, this is really not one of them, as far as his provision. Now, if I go out on my own and do what Saul did, that's a different story. Talk about, well, we got to stop. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings, and I thank you for your love for us. And Lord, I just hope us. I just want our folks to rise up in the arms of faith. And now I know that if man doesn't work, neither should he eat. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you can take care of us and provide for us and use us in a great way. Lord, just put it in your hands as we surrender. 308 on the book there. Father, speak to us. In Christ's name, amen. Let's